You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Listen, put 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 up there. We'll start with verse 13 up on the screen. I've been talking about the spirit of faith, and I gave you 10 things, very practical things you can do to build that. Tonight, I'm just going to talk about how the spirit of faith operates a little bit. And so we're going to start with the same scripture I've had for a while, but we're going to read down a little bit further. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. Let me just say something about this verse. I've said it over and over again. I'm going to continue to say it over and over again. Faith always speaks. Faith always speaks what it believes. We know in Proverbs 18, it says life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you believe and you believe and you speak death, the Bible says you'll eat the fruit of that. If you believe and you believe in life, the life of God's word, he said, you'll speak that and eat the fruit of that. But faith always speaks. Faith, whether you have faith in fear, faith in worry, faith in, you know, whatever it is, it could be on the negative or positive side, whatever you believe will eventually come out of your mouth. Next verse. We do this because we are convinced that he who raised Jesus will raise us with him, and together we will all be brought into his presence. Next verse. Yes, all things work for your enrichment so that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people, resulting in an even greater increase of praise to God, bringing him even more glory. You know, so even the spirit of faith they're talking about is not just for us. It's not just for us. It's for us to, that spirit of faith that he wants to give us and put inside of us and wants us to operate by is not just for our own good. It's for other people to be blessed by it too, so that God receives more glory. That they draw closer to God too because of the spirit of faith on us. That's why many of you have people, because you have a spirit of faith on you, have people call you in your family who aren't close to God, or friends that call you, or coworkers that grab you and say, will you pray for me? Why? Because you have a spirit of faith on you. And they know it. They can see it. That's why they call you. That's why they pull you aside and say, hey, man, the man upstairs, you know, whatever. You know, if you can just throw something up there for me, whatever. Whatever jargon they use, whatever they say. But they ask you. I mean, when I worked in the secular world, they asked me from time to time. They'll pull me aside and say, I'm having this problem. Will you pray for me? Why? Because they saw a spirit of faith. A spirit of faith that wasn't, and I never said, oh, no, that's for me. Get your own. I never said that to them. You know, I would want to encourage them to get their own, but I never told them no because I said, I'll pray with you. And what I would say to him is I'd say, hey, all you have to do is get in faith with me that God will hear my prayer. I'll never forget my father, and this is where some people miss it, and you can't do this forever. You can't get away with this forever. I remember forget my father when he was diagnosed with cancer, and I said, Dad, I'd like to pray for you. And he said, that'd be good. And I said, but it doesn't do any good if you don't have any faith. And he looked at me. My dad was a very straightforward guy. He looked at me and says, I have faith in you and your faith in God. I believe you know God and God listens to your prayers. So I know when you pray for me, God will do something for me. See, listen, our faith is not just for us. Amen. As a result of God moving in his life, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ because he saw miracles. He saw miracles. I don't know. Some of you might not know this, but my father died of Agent Orange poisoning. And when he went to have an operation on his leg, he had a little vein problem in his leg, and they were going to remove one vein from one leg, put it in another leg, and try to keep his circulation going. And when they went in there, They opened it. They did whatever they did. They scanned it, x-rayed it. All they saw was cancer all over his leg. So they said, oh, man, we better look at this again. So they scanned his whole body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He was covered with cancer. Every bone, he had holes in his bones. I mean, this guy was covered in cancer. And they called my mama, or my mom was there. She said, Mrs. Smotherman, he'll have less than 30 days to live from today. And we need to morpheme him up. He might die sooner because this type of cancer, he could just stand up and break a femur or sit up and break both his arms. That's the price some of our veterans have paid for serving in Vietnam. And so, my mom calls us and says, hey, they gave him 30 days to live. So, man, they had when they went in to look at those veins, they had done some stuff to his legs. And so, man, the stuff they did wasn't healing because of the cancer. So he had a big open wound. I don't try to be gross, but he had a big, massive open wound in his leg that would not heal. So, man, I told my boss, I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to take care of my daddy, you know. And they said, man, we can't let you off right now. I said, well, fire me, because I'm going to go pray for my father. There's some things just more important, you know. So I left, and they covered for me. Thank God I was a good employee. It pays to be a good employee. And so I went, and I sat with my mom for a week, and I sat in that room, and I spoke. I believe, therefore I speak. And I began to speak, in the name of Jesus, leg close up. In the name of Jesus, cancer, you can't take his life. And in the name of Jesus, and my mom would come in and take a turn, I'd take a turn. And then for 7 straight days, we spoke over him. Well, he didn't break a bone. And they did have him on a lot of morphine. He saw a bunch of little people running around the room. He kept telling me, hey, man, get those little people out from underneath my bed. He was irritated. I said, there's no little people underneath your bed, Daddy. And so I said, just rest. We're praying. And so, but anyway, 30 days went by, 40 days went by, 50 days went by. They took him off the morphine. They're like, man, we don't know what's going on with him. And my mom said, you can't keep him in here forever. And they didn't want to, but they said no one would take him because they didn't want just a stat. Like, they ship him to a rehab and he dies there. And they got to mess with all the paperwork and have that stat against them. But you know who took him? Roswell Rehab right down the road. They took him. No one else would take him. No VA would take him. No one would take him but the rehab here. So they ship him off, and they're like, we're shipping him to die. Well, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. They said, well, we better start rehabbing him. 6 months, He's walking now. No bones are breaking. No bones are breaking. They chemoed him. I mean, they gave him the largest doses of chemo you can get. He never lost a hair on his head. He never got sick. It didn't have any impact on him. And he ended up coming home and living 7 more years. I'm just telling you, the spirit of faith matters. It makes a difference. And if my father, after he got saved, would have really pressed into the Word of God, you know, you can only rely on someone else's faith for so long, man, and you got to start developing your own. He never really went to that level, but he lived 7 great years, and he didn't die all broken up and beat up. And, man, he went to the hospital. He had set up and broke a couple ribs. And so they went to the hospital to check him out, and he was there overnight. And he basically said he's ready to go home, be with the Lord. We prayed, and he went home. He went home within hours. And so, you know, guys, I'm telling you, the spirit of faith works. You know, and he did. I wasn't going to let him die until he received Jesus Christ as Lord. After that, man, whatever. You know, I mean, he didn't think whatever, but, man, I live for eternity. This life is short and, you know, sometimes shorter for others than it is for other people. But, man, heaven's forever and hell is forever. We have to live for eternity. I said one of the things about the spirit of faith has an eternal mindset that it's about this next life. This life is about the next life. Amen? And so we need to have a spirit of faith, and it works. Now, you might wonder, because in the word, it separates, I believe, therefore I spoke, like it was a separate scripture, and it is. It's found in Psalms 116, verse 10 and 11. It says this. They're actually quoting Psalms in that 2 Corinthians verse. It says, even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars in my own fears. Everybody say fears. That's going to be real important in a minute. And though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith, not words of fear, words of faith. I still, even in my suffering, even in my trauma, even in when it's the worst days, speak words of faith. Speak life, not death. Listen, there is power in your words. I mean, I don't know how God could place it any differently to say life and death's in the power of tongue. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the issues of life flow from that. Otherwise, all the issues in your life are going to start flowing because of what you believe and speak, for bad or good. You will sow it and you'll reap whatever you speak. There is power in our tongue. Now, there's a lot of idle words. The Bible says there's three types of words: life, death, and idle. We speak a lot of idle words that have no power behind them because we're joking around, or, you know, we don't really mean it. But the ones you mean will produce. I know people who say, I mean, they have health issues, and they say, I hate exercising. But they need to. But they keep saying, I hate it. Well, guess what? You don't do things you hate. Sandra, you ever heard anybody say that in your class? I hate exercising. They usually don't probably stick around very long if they hate it. You don't do things you hate. Amen? I heard one preacher, he said on TV, another preacher was listening to him, and he said, I want you all to say this. And he said he's on his elliptical, and he's watching this guy on TV, and he said, I'm not going to eat another donut the rest of my life. And that other guy on the elliptical said, I'm not going to, no. I'm not going to eat one the rest of this week. But the point of it was the guy on TV was trying to get people to start using the power of words, the power that's coming out of your mouth. It's powerful. It's life and death powerful. It's life and death power. So, you know, you can't keep confessing constantly negative things and ugly things that you really mean, that you really believe, and expect to get good things. I say it like this, and maybe this is a little out of line. I don't know. I say, you can't speak crap and not expect to get crap. You know, you speak junk, you're going to get junk. You have to watch what you say. And I'm not talking about joking around, and I'm not talking about just idle words. I'm talking about stuff you mean. Like, I hate this. I love this. You better make sure that what you hate and what you love is what God hates and loves. Because if it's not, it's going to breed some problems in your life. Man, words are so powerful. They're so powerful. Life and death are in those words. You know what I love about God? Let's read this next verse. That was Psalms 116:10. Let's look at Psalms 116:11. We didn't see that other verse. Let's look at that. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars, my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. Next verse. Is that verse 10 and 11 or just 10? That's 10 and 11. Okay. They didn't show that up there. That's a different version than what I read it out of. But if you keep reading through Psalms 116, you'll find out that the psalmist said, I stared death in the face. This is a life and death situation. He said, I stared death in the face, and I cried out to God, and I trusted him. That's faith. I trusted him, and he heard my prayers and healed me. Healed me. Brought me back from death. And gave me life. And he starts, after this, he starts praising him and thanking him for all his goodness and kindness. But he stood, he said, even in my trauma, even in my hurting, even in my suffering, when I was staring death in the face, I spoke the word of faith that my God is with me. If he be for me, who could be against me? If he gave me Jesus, would he not also heal me? Would he not also give me all things? I mean, he just started speaking words of faith. Words of faith. And started seeing the results. He lived. He did not die. He lived and did not die. And he declared. There's a scripture that says, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's exactly what happened. I'm giving you great scriptures. If you have health issues and stuff like that, you need to start speaking it. If you love candy, and it's tearing your body up, you need to start changing your words. I'll never forget, I had a pastor friend, I was young, and I had a lust problem, and I was young in the Lord. I was probably 19, and I went to the pastor, I said, hey man, dude, I got this, I'm overcoming it, man, I'm fighting, but I need some tools, I need some weapons. And this is what he told me. He said, you need to learn to hate it. I'll never forget it. He said, you need to learn to hate that. Man, as soon as it went off like a light bulb. I started saying, I hate porn. I hate lust. I hate this. I just started speaking it. And man, guys, I broke that curse. It's been on my family for generations. I broke that curse. Because I'm like, okay, I'll hate it. And I began to speak it. I hate that. I remember drinking. When I would drink, and even when I would fall and start drinking, while I was drinking, I would say, I hate this. I love being high on the Holy Spirit, and I hate being drunk on alcohol. I would speak that. Sometimes my friends would be with me, and they'd go, what did you say? And I'd say, I hate this. I hate it. And you know what? I wouldn't speak that very long. And I'd disappear from the party. I'd be like, I'm out of here, man. I'm out of here. And I'll never forget the last one I went to. I didn't even get two sips of a beer. I sat that down. I said, I'm out of here, man. I hate this. I hate the alcohol. I hate what I see happening to people that are drunk. This is evil and awful. Just watching people, their insecurities, their fears, just using each other. And it was so ugly. I'm like, golly, God. I love these people way too much to participate in this. I hate that stuff. I'm telling you, it worked. Because God hated it. I hated it. There's power in your words if you mean it. If you believe it. There's power in your words. Life and death power in your words. Now I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to show you an example of what we just talked about, that faith trusts God and faith speaks God's word. And I'm going to show you an example that you've heard before, but I'm going to show you a few things you might not have seen in this picture. So go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 4 through 11. This is King David and Goliath. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and in a span. I believe he's about 8 to 9 feet tall. Next verse. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. I mean, this is huge. Next verse. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Next verse. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Excuse me. Next verse. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Let me stop you right there. Let me stop right there reading. Not you, me. But, you know, Satan understands the power of words. And he understands that he makes his weapons look huge. So, can you imagine? He's in bronze. Bronze is like gold. He's in this gold outfit. He's 8, 9 feet tall in this gold outfit. He's got this big old spear between his, between his shoulders, sticking up. He's got a shield bearer it takes one guy just to carry his shield. And he's walking out with this glowing bronze helmet and armor. He's massive. And he's calling out to these guys. Satan will always look like he's bigger than you. He'll show you his weapons. His weapons are bigger than you. Fear, anxiety, love, whatever it is. He'll say, I'm bigger than you, and my weapons are more powerful than yours and bigger than yours. He'll always say that to you. Always. And he'll challenge you. Satan will challenge you, like, step out here. Let's see what you got. Let's see what you got. He'll challenge you. And he's always speaking. And he's always lying. He's always trying to intimidate. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion seeking who he may. That means he has to have permission to devour. So he's like Goliath. He's roaring loudly. Fear, anxiety, worry, dread. You're not going to make it. You're never good enough. I mean, he's speaking loudly and clearly and making it look like his weapons are beautiful and big and massive, and you cannot win. Always speaking. Always. Next verse. And the Philistine said, I defy. Everybody say defy. The armies of Israel this day. Well, Israel is in covenant with God. So he's defying the people that are in covenant with God. Is he defying you? Is he defying you? He's saying, I recognize you're in covenant with God, but I defy you. I'm coming against you. I'm going to stand against you. I'm going to beat you. You're not going to beat me. Is he defying you? He said, give me a man that we may fight together. Next verse. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid. Man, he sowed fear. He sowed fear. In 2 Timothy, it says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. But he sows fear. He wants to give you a spirit of fear, and he'll speak to you. Disease will speak to you. Lack will speak to you. All kinds of things will speak to you. It'll say, it's impossible for you to beat me. They thought it was impossible, so they were afraid. They gave in to the fear, and they not only gave in to the fear, they withdrew. They would not step on the battlefield. They wouldn't even risk it. They were so afraid they weren't even on the battlefield. Do you know, there was a spirit behind Goliath. There was a demonic spirit behind Goliath. We don't wrestle with what? Flesh and blood. Our battle's in the spirit. And our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in the spirit for the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty. Man, I don't know if that's a faith clap or. Our weapons are mighty in the spirit. They're mighty, yeah. Someone needs to get excited. They're mighty in the spirit. Go with me to verse 24 of this same chapter. We're going to skip some verses. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Man, they're in dread. They're so afraid. Now, I think we all know the difference between being afraid and dreadfully afraid. Like, you know, you might be afraid of something and you feel fear, but when you have dread and fear, I mean, that's like in your gut, like, oh my gosh, I have such dread and fear of this. That's how they are right now, because they listened to Satan speak. They listened to that spirit behind Goliath, and he spoke through Goliath, and they believed Satan over God. And they let a spirit of fear get on them. And that spirit of fear will cause you to withdraw. That spirit of fear will cause you not even to get on the battlefield. It'll cause you to give up and want to quit and go home. Next verse. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy, here we go, that word defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give him his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. So now there's a promise. You know, God said this. He said that in order to be in faith, you have to first believe that God is who he says he is and that he is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. Of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. So now the king is, he's put out a reward. The king won't fight him. No one's going out in that army. But he's like, man, I got to keep splashing the pot. I got to keep putting things out here. That's a gambling term. But that means I'm gonna keep throwing in my chips. He's like, you can have my daughter, no taxes. I mean, you know, he's just starting to, you know, and I'm sure his daughter's like, well, thanks, Dad. Threw me in there too. I hope some ugly guy doesn't win. But God's a rewarder, so they offer a reward. Verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? It takes away the reproach. Everybody say reproach. From Israel. That word reproach means shame. When Satan defies the people of God and the people of God back down, it brings shame. It brings shame to the house of the Lord. It brings shame on his people and shame on his church. Shame, 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 shame. Reproach. They're all ashamed. They're ashamed. But just this, you see how confident King David is? He's not king yet. He's been anointed king, but he just came from the field to deliver some food to his brothers. And he took care of his business. The first thing he did was take the food to the supply, the person in charge of supply, and said, this is for my brothers. I'm going to give this to you. And then he went down to see his brothers. He wanted to say hello to them. And then he hears this giant yelling at everybody. And then he hears a guy say, hey, there's a reward. And I love this. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? It takes away the shame from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's the spirit of faith speaking. You know what the first thing when he called Goliath uncircumcised, you know what he said right there? He said, who is this person who has no covenant with God? How dare that person bring shame on the people of God? Because we serve, I love it. He said, I serve the living God. And he said, not only do I serve the living God, I have a covenant with the living God, and this guy doesn't. Guess who doesn't have a covenant with the living God? Satan and every demon in hell does not have a covenant with the living God. They don't have a covenant with God. So we have a right to come against them and defeat them and claim the spoils of victory. Whatever they are, we have a right to them. Whatever the spoils are, we have a right to the spoils. Satan has no covenant. That's why I'm never afraid of those kind of things. I've had demons manifest in so many different ways. Guys, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Just like David, like, this is not going to end well for you, demon. End well for this person, not for you. Never. People are like, ooh, it's scary. Man, why? We have a covenant with, that's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith says, I have a covenant with God. The spirit of sickness and disease, lack, all these demonic spirits, they don't have a covenant with God. And our battle's not with flesh and blood, but the spirit that is behind the flesh and blood. There's always a spirit behind people that are doing things that defy God. There's a demonic spirit behind Goliath, and David knows it. The spirit of fear backed off, was ashamed, was dreadful, fearful, shameful, wouldn't even get on the battlefield. But the spirit of faith says, man, what do I get for killing this guy who has no covenant with God? With the living God, the God I serve that lives, that is alive and well, and has a covenant with me. I mean, he immediately starts pressing in and asking these questions. Go to the next verse, please. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Next verse. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You know what, guys? Some of the closest people to you are going to challenge your faith. When you have a spirit of faith about you, people are going to hate you. I'm telling you, some will hate you. Some in your family will be so jealous of you, they will hate you from a distance. Some of them will speak up, like, who do you think you are? I remember one family, man, they bought a new car. They couldn't show it to anybody in their family. So they brought it up, and I saw it. They bought it. They paid cash for it. I mean, it was debt-free. And I celebrate with them. Well, one day, they just didn't even think about it and drove over to one of their family members' house, didn't know a bunch of other people, family members were going to be there. And when they showed up and with that car and walked in, one of the family members spoke up and said, who do you think you are? He's like, what? Like, driving up in that car like you guys are this or that. Man, he's like, man, we love God. God loves us. We tithe, we serve, we honor God, and we believe God. We believe God. And they hated him for it. Guys, some of your closest family members will challenge you if you have a spirit of faith about you in some areas. I mean, they'll challenge you and speak up against you. Like, who do you think you are believing that? Who do you think you are doing that? I've had family members, when Julie said, man, I'm standing in faith over this particular area, I had family members like, you sure you should do that? And I understood they were concerned. It was genuine, but it genuinely weren't wrong. They should have just jumped on the bandwagon and said, if that's what you've decided to do, let's stand in faith together. But guys, people don't, they start questioning. They start questioning your wisdom and questioning this and questioning that. Listen, man, when you step out in faith, you better be willing to live with the outcomes. You better be willing to live with the outcomes. I want to encourage you. I'm telling you this message. If you'll grab a hold of this tonight and you'll start speaking faith instead of fear. I had a sense all day today. My spirit was like, I just couldn't wait to get here and to minister this word. Because, man, all day my spirit's just leaping up inside. And it's like John the Baptist when he heard Mary's voice and knew Jesus was there. He started jumping up and down inside Elizabeth's womb. I'm like, that's what I feel like. My spirit is jumping up and down like, man, this is what people need. We need this right now. We need the spirit of faith, not fear. We need to go for it. We need to believe God. And start speaking his word. And I got a revelation today because when I walked the stake and God told me that this spirit of oppression has a legal right over our state because of abortion, it clicked to me today that what I need to be coming against is the spirit of murder over children, and we need to defeat that spirit and speak to that spirit, take authority over that, and when we move that spirit, then that other spirit has no legal right, and it has to go too. Man, oh man, oh man. I could tell some of you didn't have the same kind of day I had today. But I hope you grab a hold of this. This isn't good preaching. This isn't a rah-rah speech. This isn't, you know, cheer you up, stir you up. This is the Spirit of God speaking to you. He's trying to speak to you, to stir you up, to start speaking words of life over your children, over your marriage, over your finances, over the church, over our community, over your employer and your job. Quit saying, I hate my job. After a while, you won't have it. You need to say, thank you, Father, I have a job. And, Father, I'd like to have a better job. But I'm thankful for the one I have. I don't see God promoting people who hate everything, hate their job, hate this, hate that. I know so many people that have prayed to get jobs, and then when you get it, you hate it. And you forget that you prayed for it. You just need to be thankful and then pray for another one. He gave you one, he'll give you another one. It's better. But you got to get thankful for the one you have. And be faithful with your words and your attitude. Let's keep going. Next verse. Oh, it just gets better. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Otherwise, man, is there not a reason for me to be speaking faith? Is there not a reason for me to be asking questions? Is there not a reason for me to be here? He's like, is there not a cause? Guys, there's causes. You can't throw a rock and not hit 15 causes in your own family, in your own home. Man, we need to be speaking over those things, speaking God's word over them. Because we have a covenant sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sealed it with his own blood. We have a covenant forever because he is of the house, he is of the priesthood of Melchizedek. He is a priest forever. He's our high priest. He's our Savior. He's our Lord and he's our King. He's our big brother. He is our everything. He is the door that is open to the Father's throne room. He is the door to heaven. He's the door to forgiveness. He's the door to grace. He's the door to faith. It's Jesus. Next verse. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now listen, he turned his back on his brother. He said, you know what? I'm not talking to you. I'm going to go talk to somebody else and ask him, hey, what do I get for kill? I'm going to talk to someone that will give me an answer instead of trying to badmouth me and question me and get me to doubt myself. Tried to tear his self-esteem down. Who do you think you are? David turned his back like, you know what? You're my big brother, but you know what? I'm not listening to that junk. I'm going to go, hey, dude, what do I get? And this guy said, man, you get to marry the queen. You get no taxes for your father. I mean, he started naming the stuff. And David's like, yeah, that sounds about right. Next verse. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Next verse. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He's like, stop being afraid. I got it. Stop being afraid, Saul. He said, you and all the rest of them, stop being afraid. I got this. You know, he didn't say it because he thought he could beat Goliath by himself. He said it because he believed in the living God that lived inside of him and the covenant that he had with God, the relationship he had with God, and he knew God would help him. He knew God would help him. Oh, man, for time's sake, I got to stop right there. What verse are we on right there? Go to the next verse. We just got a couple minutes. Go to the next verse. I love this. I love what happens with David and Goliath. Are we there? Oh, yeah, and Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Here's another one. His brothers didn't believe in him. His leader doesn't believe in him. But David doesn't care. Make a long story short, David finally convinces him. Well, oh, we got to read it. We got to read it. But we're not going to read it tonight. But I'm going to tell you the end of the story, but we're going to go back and read it. But listen, it's not coincidental that David killed Goliath with a rock. And it's not coincidental that David cut off his head with his own sword. The Bible says that Jesus is our rock. It says this too, listen, it says this too. Jesus is not only our rock, he is the Word of God made flesh. He's the Word. He's our rock in the word. When you speak the word, you're throwing rocks like David is at Goliath, and you're hitting spiritual targets and taking them down. And when the spirit behind it is gone, the person that's cooperating is gone too. And then it's not coincidental that he throws a rock that represents Jesus that knocks him flat, cold, or out, or dead. We don't know. But he runs, jumps up on his chest, pulls his own sword out, and cuts his head off. I think it's interesting that the rock, Jesus, is the Word of God. And he said, I gave you a sword. I'm the Word, and I gave you my Word in the form of a sword. The sword of the Spirit. Spirit of what? Spirit of faith. And he cut his stinking head off, and then he held it up like a banner. He held it up like a flag, like a banner. Why? Because the spirit of faith is just not for us. It was for all the other people that were there that were afraid. And when they saw the spirit of faith on David and that it actually worked, because I'm sure there were some people sitting back going, that little boy about to die, man, and we're all going to be serving the Philistines. I'm sure Saul's in there. Man, his heart's probably pounding 1,000 miles. Like, my kingdom's about over. I trusted this little kid to go fight for him. What was I thinking? But David knew the word. He knew God. He throws the rock and kills him and then takes the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and cuts his head off. And he ends the, they all rise up, all the rest of the people. When the spirit of faith arises in one, it rose up in all the rest of the people. And they all took off running towards the Philistines. The Philistines now took off running the other way. Can I tell you the end of the story? You know where they end up? They end up in Goliath's hometown. And when they showed up, David kept his head. David not only kept his head, he kept all his armor. Just like any other teenager, he kept all that big old bronze armor. You know where he put it? In his room. At least he didn't leave it in the living room, like most teenagers. He actually took it to his room, and he had it set up in his room. Goliath, this massive 8-9 foot armor was in David's room the whole time. It stayed there. Constant reminder. He took his head, he took it all the way back to Jerusalem, and he was still holding it up. Like, you know, he's a teenager, man. But he went all the way to Goliath's hometown. And those people folded like a house of cards when they saw Goliath's head and saw David with it. The spirit of faith ignites faith around us. And it brings victory not just for us. David didn't just get a victory. The whole nation got a victory. Your whole family can get a victory if you'll get a victory. Oh, it'll stir up faith in people around you. Oh, man. Listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Trust God. Believe him. Even when you're suffering, speak words of faith. No matter what, you speak words of faith. Amen. Oh, we got so much more. We got to talk about power and authority next Wednesday. I'm so excited about it. Listen, every eye closed in here and online, and oh, man. Man, if you're in here, you don't know God. You don't know this God. He knows you. And he loves you. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was thinking about you. You say, how can he be thinking about me? He was thinking about every human being that ever existed, that did exist, and that would ever exist. And he was thinking about us by name. Do you know? Bible says that all of our names are written in the book of life. That God wrote the name of every human being that was going to exist on in forever. He wrote all of our names in the book called the book of life. And that when someone dies and they never acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, they never surrender their life to him and serve him, their name is blotted out. It disappears. Like if you could see it in your mind's eye and you're looking at a book with a bunch of names, it just disappears. It just vanishes. The name just vanishes. It just vanishes. And unfortunately, even as we speak, people are dying around the world and they refuse to accept Jesus. They refuse to acknowledge God. They refuse to surrender their life. They're hanging on to such petty things. Satan's got so many people, some of you online in here, so deceived. You're hanging on to so much junk that you think somehow will make you happy or feels good or, oh, man. Oh, man, I can sense the dread and regret on the day of judgment when your name's not in the book. And you're going to look and go, I lost eternal life in heaven forever. And I'm going to spend an eternity in a place called hell forever suffering because of this and that, my petty pride, my petty unforgiveness, my inability to allow God to heal my heart from trauma and issues. And I hung on to unforgiveness and I was so petty and I loved money more than this. I loved my life so much that I lost eternal life. And my name is no longer in the book of life. The spiritual world is real. Gosh, if you can't look around and see that, man, you're blind if you can't see it. And there really is a beautiful, unbelievable place called heaven. And there really is a suffering place, a place that we call hell. It is so hopeless and so lonely, so dark. And there's no way out of it. Those places are real. God is real. Jesus is real. He really loves you. He's trying to save your life right now. He's appealing to you through me and through the prayers of people that are praying right now for you and have prayed for you this whole week. Man, if you have never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ and meant it, been honest and sincere, said, man, I'm all yours. No matter how many times I fall, I'm going to keep running to you. That's the life of a Christian. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, that's the number of completion. No matter how many times it takes, he rises again. The number 8 is the number of a new beginning. Man, I keep running to God, running to God, running to God, running to God. But I made a decision a long time ago, and so did so many in this room, so many online, that, man, there's no plan B. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to try to be part of the rescue plan to help others go there too. I'm going to live my life for Him. Receive the rewards that He has for me. My family. Don't put it off another day, another moment. If that's you, you've never prayed like that. You've never really dedicated your life to Him. You've never made a prayer of dedication like, Jesus, You're the Lord, and no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to keep running to You. I'm going to keep running to You no matter what. Because You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You love me more than anybody loves me. Teach me how to love like You love. If you've never prayed those kind of prayers, live that kind of life, here's your opportunity right now. Or maybe you have known His love and known His goodness. You're a runaway daughter, a runaway son. You've run away from the Father for whatever reason. Whatever the reason was. And you just want to come home. If you come home with a repentant heart of heart, ready to change and grow, then He'll receive you with open arms and celebrate you. If it's your first time coming to Him, He only celebrates when someone comes the first time and someone comes home. That's the only time heaven celebrates. All of heaven celebrates that just then. That's only 2 times in all the Bible. They're waiting to celebrate you. So if that's you and you want to pray and get right with God, I'm going to ask you to do 2 things. First one is, on the count of 3, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up high. Online, I'm going to ask you to send us a message. I'm praying for the first time or the next time. And then after that, we'll all pray together. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. And here, put your hand up high. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Golly, thank you all. God bless you. That's incredible. Online, send us a message right now. Send us a message. Let's all pray now. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe You are God and God alone. I believe You sent Jesus because You love me to die for my sins. to save my life in this life and forever in the next life. I believe you laid 3 days in a grave, but you rose from the dead and conquered sin and death to rescue me and everyone else that believes it. I believe it. And because I do, I ask you to forgive me for disobeying you, defying you, running away from you. And I receive your forgiveness. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I surrender my life to you, all of it, just the way you surrendered all of your life for me. Teach me now how to serve you, how to follow, how to live the life you came to give me in this life to the full until I see you in heaven forever. Thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord. God bless you guys.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.